people who need to be saved. You know, I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. And it's the most important decision you'll ever make in life. Because that decision to follow Jesus really determines where you spend eternity. And this last chapter of Daniel is going to bring this out, I think, in a way that I hope will be beneficial. And if you're here today, I remember the day that I was saved. I sat in a church much like this. I heard a message from the pulpit. And as it was being shared, I felt like whatever was being said is almost like the guy was reading my heart. And at the end of the service, he just asked, if you're here today and you need to surrender to Jesus, come and do it. I had no idea what he was talking about. And that may be you as well. You may not understand exactly what that means when someone says being saved or following Jesus or born again. There's a lot of different terms we use. But you know, it's a step of faith. It's just saying, Lord, you know what? I'm going down the wrong path. I just need to turn my life to you and trust that you'll direct me from there. And that's been, for me, almost 52 years ago. And Jesus has helped me all along the way. So it's a little scary to think, oh, what do you mean I'm going to turn my life over to Jesus? It is literally the best decision you could ever make. And I pray that if you are here today and you've never, you know, made that step, let it happen today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But you're guaranteed today because you're here. And he's for you. He's for you. So Lord, I pray as we look in your word today to just finish up this book of Daniel, pray you give understanding and let it be a blessing. There's so much good in this last chapter. Pray that I could express it in a way that would be beneficial and helpful for the eternal well-being of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Daniel 11, I'm not even going to touch on today. It's mostly history. If you're a history person, that's great. Go back and read it. Get yourself a commentary and you can learn some old history. But the thing that stands out to me in that particular chapter is that many of these things that were prophesied, and I have a slide up here of the Persian kings, Alexander the Great, Egypt and Syria, Antiochus, Epiphanes. These things were prophesied up to 370 years into the future. And you can go back now and look at some history and say, wow, it just happened exactly the way God told Daniel. And it's an amazing thing to me to know that God not only knows the future, but in a sense talks about it even before these nations existed as nations. He knew the future. He had a plan for the future. And his purpose was tied up somehow in the future of these nations. The rest of the chapter is one of those ones where there's lots of different translations or different ways of looking at it. There's three or four different views. And I'm going to tell you again, generally speaking, some people believe that verse 36 through 45 is just a continuation of the history. So it would be in the past. Some believe it's in the future, speaking about like the Antichrist into the future. And some believe it's a little bit of both. And that's people who just can't make up their mind. What that means is they believe that it has sort of a partial fulfillment through this guy Antiochus, but then even a later, almost like a telescopic secondary fulfillment in a future Antichrist. So I don't know where you stand on that, but guess what? We probably have people who disagree on this within our church. And guess what? It's a secondary doctrine. And guess what? Alliance Christian Center does not have an official stand on this. So I'm just telling you, go study the Word of God. Study it. And let the Lord help you develop your conviction. I'm just telling you that there are men of God who love Jesus, who love the Word of God, who just see it differently. And it's okay. Now, it's a secondary doctrine. The thing that I love about it, I wrote this down on my notes. Each of these views has problems. What do I mean by that? Well, you can poke holes in it. Somebody who believes that it's future can poke a hole in the one that believes it's a continuation. And someone who believes it's a continuation can poke holes in the one who thinks it's both and. There's areas that aren't yet fully understood. And I believe the reason why is because what he says in Daniel, seal up the book until the end. There's still so much not understood about that time that the book has been sealed up. So I put down here the word uncertain about these verses, 36 through 45. But the thing that's certain about each one of them, each of those views, is they all end up at the resurrection. Everything points to the resurrection. So whether you're a continuationist, a historian, or a both-and type person, we're all heading the same direction. That is the resurrection at the end. That we're certain of. I love Isaiah 46, verse 9. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will accomplish all my purpose. I love that. It just gives me such a confident sense that God is really in control. We've seen that all through the book of Daniel, and it stands out in a strong way to me in this chapter 11. Now I'm going to jump into chapter 12 now and spend the rest of the time there. Chapter 12 speaks about, to me, three things. Something called the time of trouble, something called the book. And I want to talk to you today about the book. There's something called the time of trouble, something called the book, and something called the resurrection. Those three things are going to be covered in chapter 12, and I'll talk about those the rest of the time here this morning. So Daniel 12, verse 1 and 2, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation until that time. But at that time, so we know there's a time of trouble. Past, present, or future, there's a time of trouble. We know that at that time, your people shall be delivered. So how many of you would love to be delivered if there's a time of trouble? Let me see your hand. Time of trouble, I want to be delivered. Who are the people? Well, it says, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. All right, I want to be in that book. Because if there's a time of trouble coming, I want my name to be in the book. And I hope you do too. And that's really what I want to focus on today, getting your name in the book. We're going to be talking about other things here, but if I was to distill this down into one statement, get your name in the book. That's what we're talking about today. Your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. What if your name's not written in a book? You're not going to be delivered. It's all about the book. And then verse 2 says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's only two outcomes in the resurrection. Everlasting life, or everlasting contempt. Who do you think gets everlasting life? You got to be in the book. And what happens if you're not in the book? What is it? Everlasting contempt. I love the Bible. It's very simple, very clear. But you have to decide if you want to be in the book or not. It makes all the difference in the world. Daniel 12, verse 1, there should be a time of trouble such as has never been. How long will this last? That's a question that was asked. And in verse 7, he raised his right hand, his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. And when you read through the book of Revelation, you find there are other places where this idea of 3.5 years is mentioned. 5 different times in Revelation. I think it's all the same 3.5 year period, but let's look at what happens. And I think it's really correlates to this time of trouble. So in Revelation 11:2, it talks about the city being trampled for 42 months. 3.5 years. Revelation 11:3, it talks about two witnesses who will stand and prophesy during that same time period. 1260 days, 3.5 years. It says in Revelation 12 that during that period, the woman would be nourished in the wilderness for 3.5 years. And then in chapter 13, which I'm going to read, it talks about the beast. We're going to read that next. The beast was alive for 42 months. Let's read about that here in Revelation 13. It says, there was a beast given a mouth. Now, if you remember reading all through Daniel, beasts were representing nations. And here's this beast given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed. I like that word because it shows you that God is the one who gives permission. It was allowed to exercise authority. For how long? 3.5 years, 42 months. It opened its mouth, this beast opened its mouth to utter blasphemy against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed, there's that word again, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. That doesn't sound too appetizing, does it? But he was allowed and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. So that's really the whole world. And listen to what it says. All who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book. So whether you think this is past, present, or future, bottom line is that book determines where you pledge allegiance. Who do you worship? It tells us here that all who dwell on the earth will worship this beast. And he defines that further by saying, it's everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb. What does that even mean, the Lamb who was slain? Jesus is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He was like the true sacrifice. He wasn't a literal lamb, but he was like a lamb. Back in the Old Testament, they would bring sheep or goats, or not goats, but sheep or bulls or lambs to sacrifice for their sins. And he's saying here that there's a book written, and it's called the Book of Life of the Lamb. And to me, what it's saying there is that this book that our names are being written in is a book that's linked to Jesus. And not just Jesus as a nice guy in heaven, but Jesus as a slain lamb. Somehow before, he says it's before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, God was able to look down through the corridors of time. You say, how did he do that? I don't know, but we saw earlier in Daniel, he was able to look down 350 years into the future. Does it stop there? But he was able to look down through the corridors of time, and you know what he saw? You and me. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, knowing that one day he would have literally millions of people who would come to him. And knowing how we would respond, he decided before the world began to open up his book and write Nora Minor. She's not recognized that name because she just got married. Let's give her a hand. Isn't that awesome that the Lord wrote your name in the book of life before the world began? In other words, when the Lord said, "Let there be light," and Adam and Eve was created, you were already in the heart and mind of God. And the fact that he wrote your name in the book didn't make it happen. It's just that he knew you would respond to the gospel of Jesus. And so he said, "Hey, I think I'm going to," the Lord's like, "I'm going to take a step of faith and write Ted Horn in there." I think that's awesome to think about. But you see, again, this whole idea of what's happening in Revelation 13, it sort of pivots on where are you at with the book. If you're not in the book, you're going to worship the beast. And if you are, you won't. It's simple as that. Where is your name? Is your name in the book? So Daniel 12 speaks of a time of trouble. Revelation 13 speaks of a time of trouble. Daniel 12 speaks about a book. Everyone who's written in the book will be delivered. And Revelation 13 speaks about this book as well, and a certain deliverance there for people who are written in it. So is there a correlation? Seems like it to me. Next, I want to read a little bit about the book, tell you a little bit more about it. We already read Revelation 13:8, but it's a book that's related to the work that Jesus did when he died on the cross. That's what the book's all about. It's not about, I'm trying to be a better person, or I went to church when I was younger, or my grandma took me to church back in the day, or hey, my uncle's a preacher over there, or I'm trying to be a good person. It's none of that. It is, what are you thinking about the Lamb who was slain? And what are you going to do about it? He died for the sins of the world. It has to do with sin. It has to do with me and my rebellion against God and sin in my life that has to be somehow atoned for. And Jesus said, I'm going to go and do that for you and get your name written in the book of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Revelation 3:5, it says, those who conquer will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Who's this for? Those who conquer. Overcomers. Read through the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and you'll see over and over again promises to those who overcome. And that's us. We can be overcomers or we can be overcome. But those who overcome, he'll never blot your name out of the book of life. Philippians 4. I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. It seems like to me, I get a lot of confidence for people's names in the book of life when they are serving Jesus. That is not the qualification, don't get me wrong. But there's something that happens when you surrender your life to Jesus, you want to do something for him. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. That is our spiritual act of worship. And Paul was saying, hey, I just want you to help these women. They've labored with us side by side in the gospel. I have other fellow workers. I want you to know where their name's at. It's in the book of life. You want your name there? I do. Revelation 20:15, if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Who wants that? I mean, you read that and you're thinking, you got to respond to Jesus and we'll walk away from it, knowing that this is what he says is the outcome. Well, how do you know that's going to happen? Because he looks into the future. He knows the beginning from the end. And so he's basically saying there is a resurrection of life and there is a resurrection of contempt. And those written in the book will find life. And those whose names are not in the book will be thrown into the lake of fire. It's a sad day, but it's true. It's as true as us sitting here today. Luke 10 verse 20, remember Jesus was sending his disciples out and they were so excited because they had power to cast out devils. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the priority he put on it. He said, if you want to rejoice about anything, be glad that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice in that. And I rejoice in it. I rejoice today that my name is written in heaven. And I know many of you, probably most of you in this room, your name is written in heaven. We should rejoice about it. But if we know somebody whose name is not written in heaven, let us tell them. At least give them the opportunity to make an intelligent decision. Nope, I think I want to take the lake of fire. So, it's about the book. And then Daniel 12:2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I want to be wise. I want to shine in that day. Everybody in this room is going to be in one of those two outcomes in the resurrection, either life or contempt. You choose. There's two different kinds of resurrections or two outcomes. Daniel calls them here everlasting life, everlasting contempt. In John 5, Jesus calls them the resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. You can look that up in John chapter 5. Acts 24, verse 14, Paul calls them the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. So you see that every person in the world falls into one of those categories. And where you land in the resurrection is all dependent upon the book. It's all in the book. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. When we get this revelation, just like Daniel did, you want to understand it totally. But the Lord, the angel tells him, shut it up, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge will increase. I mean, in the context, I think the knowledge increasing would be, in my mind, again, this is me in, what's the date today? June 14, 2026. It is that it'll open up to us in time. You know, I don't know that it necessarily means we're going to have the internet and the airplanes. I think it just, in time, knowledge will increase. We'll understand. It'll be opened. But there's a time that is still not fully understood. And I think that's why there are so many different variations in how people see these things. But there are things that are uncertain or maybe not fully known. But there are things that are definitely certain. And I like to focus on things that are certain when I share anything from the Bible. And if there's areas of question, I hold them loosely in my own hand. I hope you do as well. So seal it for the future generations. It'll become clear over time. Daniel 12, 8 and 9. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant, so I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? He said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. So, if you don't understand everything in the book of Daniel, anybody here understand everything in the book of Daniel? you're in good company. The book's been sealed until the end. And knowledge will increase. It'll open up. Let the Lord open it. We try to open it with can openers, and we end up with 45 flavors of eschatology. And of course, no one is as blessed as I am to have the true truth about eschatology. You know how that is. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to help us understand there are things that we need to focus on that are very important. Other things are secondary. And to me, I want to see people get their name in the book. Amen. I'd rather see people get the name in the book than to figure out who's got the right eschatology. Verse 13. Here's what the angel says to Daniel. Bottom line, this is where I stand. If you ask me, what are you all about, Kirk Martin? It's this right here. Go your way till the end. You shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. There's a good motto for life right there. You know what he's saying? He's basically saying, go live your life. You know, I've given you these visions. You don't understand them all. Seal them up until the end. But until that understanding comes, just go live your life. Be faithful. Follow Jesus. And he says, you shall rest. What's that mean? Pushing up daisies. It's okay. You know what? Nobody gets out alive. We're all going to pass away unless the Lord comes back before then. So he says, just go your way. Live the life. You shall rest. And you'll die in peace. You shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. What's that, the resurrection? I can live through this life confident in a resurrection. I have a Lord, a God who knows the beginning from the end. Not only can he prophesy about nations that don't exist 370 years before they even existed, but I know a God who knows the end of the end, from the beginning. And he has said that we will rise. All those who are in the grave will hear his voice. And so I can go about life, live faithfully for Jesus, die in peace, and know one day I will stand in my allotted place, my inheritance, the thing that God has planned for me. And every one of you can, if what? Your name's in the book. If your name's not in the book, you're still going to be in a resurrection, but it's not the kind you would want. I'd like to have Randy come up. We're going to close in prayer here. Daniel, the summary of Daniel, the whole book to me is this. God rules over the nations. Evil may rise, but it's only for a period of time allotted by the Lord. We saw it rise up in Daniel's life. We saw it rise up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even the fact that they were carried off into Babylon. Evil may rise, but it's only for a period. For God's people, just remain faithful. Remain faithful to the Lord no matter what comes your way. Even in the face of death, like Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Face the future with confidence. Because even if you die in the furnace, guess what? You're going to stand in your allotted place in the end. Who's going to take that away from you? Do I hear an answer? No one's going to take that away. That's the Lord's allotted inheritance for you. It's a place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe Jesus. I believe what he says is true. If you have struggles with everything else in the Bible, at least believe what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you so that where I am, you will be. I have strict confidence in that, no matter what I have to face. So I don't worry about what's coming. I don't bite my nails and worry if the Antichrist is on the horizon. He may be. He may not be. I don't know. But regardless, he can't touch this. This is what the Lord has done. And the Lord basically says, go live your life, Kirk. Live your life. Live faithfully. One day you will rest. One day you will stand in your allotted place. And I say, praise God. Last scripture, Job 19. Job is one of the oldest, as far as chronologically, books in the Bible. I love what he says. Talk about someone who has confidence in the resurrection. I know my Redeemer lives. How many here know your Redeemer lives? I mean, death tried to get him, didn't it? I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will stand on the earth. Who? Jesus. My Redeemer is going to stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, guess what happens when you're buried? Yep, you get eaten. You know, something happens. You don't look the same. After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Why is that? Because he's going to cause whatever your condition happens to be. I always think about the man who fell in the ocean, was eaten by fish, and basically pooped across the bottom of the ocean floor. When Jesus comes back and says, all those who are in the grave rise up, guess what? It's not going to hold it back. It's coming together. Because you're going to stand in your allotted place on that day. What if a person was burned up in a fire? What's that to the Lord? What if I die and I'm buried and I just turn to dust? He says that will happen anyhow. But in my flesh, this flesh right here, we will stand and see God. It'll be changed, different in a certain way. But I'm not going to be like a ghost floating around. In our flesh, we will rise and we will see the Lord. That is the miracle of the resurrection. In my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. It's going to be my eyeballs looking on Jesus. My heart faints within me. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So I encourage you today, if you're not in the book, we're going to make an opportunity this morning for you to come and pray and get your name in that book. Or you can sit there at your seat. You don't have to come up front here. It's a commitment of your life to Jesus. It's a commitment of your life to Jesus. Say, hey, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm on the wrong track in life. I want to be in the book. I want to be in the book. And so today I want to surrender my life to you. Let that be today for you if you've never done that. And if you're wavering in your walk with Jesus, decide today, I'm going to stand. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to die in peace. I'm going to stand in my allotted place in the end.